All right. Awoken Grace. It's great to be back. If you weren't able to be with us last week, I wasn't able to be here either. My son, Cale High, was born on Saturday night at about 11 p.m. And he's doing great. And as much as I'd love to believe that I can speak after something like that, I don't think I would have made it. And as much as I would have loved to be here with you, I wanted to be with him more. So I wasn't able to be here last week. And so I called up a good friend of mine, Andy Stanley, and asked him if he would be able to kind of fill in for me. That's funny, people. Like, you get it? But he graciously he did. I heard it went really, really well, which is awesome. I was a little nervous. He's still working on his delivery a little bit. But I heard it went good, so that's great. And for me, really, I was really excited because I was really glad that you were able to hear that, if you were able to be here last week. It's, I think, one of the best messages on prayer that I've ever heard. And for me, it was crucial in my life when I first heard it because it kind of set me on this journey of discovering that prayer was more than what I had previously thought. And that maybe there was more to this than what I was currently experiencing. And maybe this could actually begin to be a conversation between me and God and not me just simply talking to the air or talking to a wall. And if you haven't been with us for the last couple of weeks, right now we're in the middle of a conversation or a series called Can We Talk? And we're talking about this idea of prayer. It's something that's a part of almost every single one of our lives. Because whether it's a consistent part of your life or whether it's something that you just turn to in emergency situations or in crisis situations, almost every single one of us at some point or another has prayed. And yet, if we were to go around this room and ask you to explain how prayer works, very few of us would be able to actually do that. Very few of us actually understand what this thing called prayer is all about. And yet, it's crucial to our experience of God. We see the Bible is filled with it, but we don't necessarily understand it. I mean, why does God answer some prayers and not others? Why does it seem like sometimes God answers prayers that seem so small and insignificant, and then at the same time ignores or doesn't answer prayers that seem incredibly significant? And I think all of us have these questions, and so as we walk through this year, we decided to spend some time talking about this idea of prayer. And the great news is, as we talked about in week one, we're not alone. As a matter of fact, the 12 who were closest to Jesus, the 12 people who were the closest to him, the Bible refers to them, and scriptures refer to them as his disciples, they found themselves in exactly the same situation. And they looked at the way that Jesus prayed and the conversation that Jesus was having with God, and they looked at the way that they prayed, and they realized, wait a second, something isn't adding up. Something doesn't match here. Something doesn't fit. And so they asked a question that I think a lot of us would like to ask, but most of us are afraid to ask this question, okay, Jesus, teach us to pray. How do we pray? What words do we use? How does this thing work? And as we started off this series, we kind of dove into Jesus' answer, and we've been looking at how Jesus responds to them. The prayer that he gives them in response is something that we're all very familiar with. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And the first week, we looked at just the first couple lines of this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the thing that we talked about was that, okay, this prayer that he's giving them, this isn't something to be repeated over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, right before he gives it to him, he says, don't say this over and over and over again like some people do, thinking that'll be effective. It's not, that's not what this is. He says, this isn't something that you just is kind of like a good luck charm, but this is rather a prayer that's packed with principles. And so even as we looked at those first two lines, I told you that in these first two lines, there's two really, really important principles that we find that Jesus is teaching us about this conversation. The first one had to do with this line, hallowed be thy name, and the fact that when we come into this conversation, it's crucial that we understand our position, that we understand how big God is, that the reason Jesus says this, it isn't that we come to God and we need to kind of give him a little bit of an ego boost so that then he'll respond to us. The idea wasn't like when you call your parents and you need money, and you call them and you're like, hey, mom, I love you. and I was just thinking about you, and she hears the way you're talking, and she responds, okay, how much money do you need, right? Because she knows what you're doing. That's not the principle that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about position. Realizing that as you enter into this conversation, you're understanding, okay, God, you're huge, you're holy, you're big, you're special, significant. I need to hear from you. I need you. But as I said in week one, these first two lines don't just teach us one thing, they actually teach us two things. And so this week we're actually sticking right with that same phrase. We're sticking right with those first two lines as he answers his disciples and says, okay, this is how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, when he says that, and what we talked about the first week, this idea of position, that's not something that would have shocked the disciples. They would have understood that. They would have been taught that since they were very, very little. I mean, the idea that they should take God very seriously, the idea that God was big, the idea that God had the answers and they didn't, was something that they needed to be reminded of, but it wasn't something that was new to them. They already knew this. They had already heard this before. They understood that he was big. However, the way that Jesus Christ starts the prayer would have shocked them. Because as he starts off, he says, listen, this is how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, for the disciples to hear this, I think the second they heard him start, it would have been like, whoa, wait, wait just one second. Because for them, this idea that you would actually call God your Father was something very foreign. For us, we kind of take it for granted because we've heard it over and over and over again. But for them, it was brand new. The prophets had kind of, in the Old Testament, had kind of alluded to this idea that God was kind of this father figure. But the idea that you could actually talk to him like that was something entirely new. Because for them, God wasn't the relationship that they had with God. It wasn't an intimate relationship. God dwelt in the temple and he heard their prayers and he was everywhere, but he dwelt in the temple. And the idea that you could be intimate with him was something that they had never experienced. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even available to them. Jesus, as he begins to lay out this prayer, is beginning to unravel the mystery that he's going to be playing out over the next few years. And he's beginning to open this door to them that, listen, the relationship between you and God is about to change. Because for them, their entire relationship with God had been me and my God, the nation of Israel and our God. He is our God and we are his people. But Jesus says, wait, I'm beginning something brand new here. And so I'm going to begin to invite you into a different kind of conversation, a conversation between you and your dad. Because Jesus knew that in just a few years, he was going to give his life on the cross, and all of a sudden that veil in the temple was going to be ripped in half, and no longer would God be in the temple and his people around the temple, but he would actually be with them. As Jesus teaches them more and more about prayer, he talks to them. And this is the hope that we have, right? Jesus teaches his disciples that, listen, you're going to be able to hear from God the way that I hear from God. The same Spirit that is in me is going to be in you. When I leave, he's going to come to you and you're going to be able to actually talk with God. And so as Jesus starts this off, he says, okay, I want to introduce you to something new that I'm beginning, that eventually his death makes possible. He says, one day you're going to have a relationship and it's not going to be you and your God, it's going to be you and your dad. Because when Jesus Christ gives his life on that cross, he makes it possible for you to be adopted as God's sons and daughters. And so for the disciples, this would have been shocking. And it's crucial, right? Because the relationship in which you have a conversation determines a lot about the conversation. The relationship you have with the person to whom you're talking determines a lot about the conversation that you're engaged in. So if you're talking to your boss, you talk very differently than if you're talking to your friend. If you're talking to your father, you talk very differently than if you're talking to your wife. If you're talking, whoever you're talking to, the relationship determines a lot about the conversation. It determines the tone. It determines how you feel in the conversation. It determines the words that you use. It determines the speed of the conversation. It determines the content of the conversation. And for the nation of Israel, the entire time, as a matter of fact, as you read through the Old Testament, when they talk about God, they don't talk about their father. The word that they use is the word Lord, which is this idea of master or king. And for them, all of their prayers took place inside of this relationship of master or king. And so I answer to him, he's my king, he's my God, me, my God. And so it's a very different conversation than if you're talking to your dad. Right? I mean, it changes everything. I have a friend named Steve, and we used to give him a really, really hard time. Because when Steve has a normal voice, just like me, just like, you know, the rest of the guys here, kind of, you know, that guy pitched voice. But when Steve would answer the phone for his girlfriend, his voice would go up significantly. I mean, like 5 or 6 notes, right? And we always knew who was on the other line on the end of the phone call, because he'd flip open his phone and it was like, "Hi, how are you?" And I'm like, "What is happening to you? You talk to your girlfriend like a girl. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it go down when you answer?" And we laugh about it, but the truth is we all do it, right? I mean, guys, every single one of us has that voice that we talk to our girlfriend or wife in, right? And she appreciates that. I remember when I first got a phone at Skyline, the church that we planted before we came here to Hoboken, it didn't have caller ID, and Anna would call me, and I'd answer the way that I answered the phone for, you know, just anyone who was calling, kind of a business voice, right? And it made her so upset, right? Because that's not the way I talk to her. That's not the voice that I use to talk to her. My voice in that conversation is much more gentle, right? So we see that when the relationship changes, the conversation changes. And it changes drastically. And so for Jesus to start off this way as he gives us this prayer is incredibly significant. And as he begins this way and says, "Okay, listen, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven." He's reaching out to them and saying, "Listen, guys. This is something new." And he's inviting them into a different kind of conversation. A different level of conversation. A different level of intimacy. And he says, "Okay, I know that you've been engaged in this conversation as you and your God. But I'm changing that. And from here on out, it's not going to be you and your God. It's going to be you and your dad." And this is the conversation he wants to have with you. Now, for some of us, we look at that and we say, "Well, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. I thought we talked about how big God is and how grand God is and how powerful God is. And how does that fit with this idea that he's our dad?" And the truth is that our relationship with our earthly fathers really impact and sometimes can twist the relationship that we have with our heavenly Father. And when we hear him say that he's our father, that he's our dad, sometimes it can be kind of manipulated or twisted by the fact that maybe we don't have a great relationship with our earthly father. And so it begins to bring bad things into this picture. But for most of us, I think that what he's beginning to lay out for us, for most of us, we've experienced this at some point in our lives. Now, not for all of us. For some of us, we didn't have a relationship with our father
at all. And for others of us, the relationship from the very beginning was only negative. But for a lot of us, we kind of understand this because at some point in our lives, we knew what it was to have a dad who could do anything. Right? I mean, do you remember that point in your life where you just believed that, listen, dad can do anything? Right? I went away last week or 2 weeks ago to kind of work on this series and next series messages. And I was away for 3 days. And while I was away, my son, Caden, had a really hard time because something happened in our living room where the curtain rod broke. And so if you ever get to know my son, Caden, he's a little bit of a perfectionist. He has a really, really hard time when things aren't exactly where they're supposed to be. I mean, he begins to freak out. I have no idea where he got it from. And notice John laughed the loudest. But he looks, he comes out of his room and he sees this curtain rod is broken. Right? And so he turns to his mom. He says, listen, mom, fix, mommy fix, mommy fix. And he's like having a really, really hard time with this. He's like flipping out about this curtain rod. And so Anna is like 8 months pregnant at this point. And so she tries to get up there. She's trying to get on this chair, trying to fix this curtain rod. She can't get it fixed. Caden is still flipping out. She gets down. She's like, listen, Caden, I can't fix it, but daddy will be home in just a few days and he'll fix it. And she told me this story. It made me so happy. He looked at her and he said, oh yeah, daddy fix. And then he just went on his way. I was so excited. He's like, yeah, daddy fix. And every morning she said from then on out, he would get out and walk out and say, daddy fix. And then go out with whatever he was doing. And you guys remember that? You remember that time when dad could do anything? Like he was huge and he was powerful, but it wasn't negative. It was great because he was your dad. My dad talks about this with his dad. My grandfather. And my grandfather wasn't a normal person. He wasn't a usual person. He's kind of an incredible guy. And just so you kind of understand the kind of person we're talking about here, when my grandfather rented his first piece of property to start his farm started when he was 12 years old. Where we came from in southwestern Michigan, that wasn't necessarily that uncommon, but it was probably a little younger than what most would. And it's just kind of the way that people were raised and how people grew up, where as soon as you could work, you did. And so his farm started when he was actually 12 years old. And by the time I got to know my grandfather, I knew what my dad talks about, because my dad would talk about the size of my grandfather's hands. And not only was my grandfather just a big guy, he's like 6'4", and he was a really, really big guy. Not only was that true, but his hands were just incredibly powerful. And it came from just years and years and years of farming and just lifting things and cutting. I mean, he had done so many things with his hands. And when he would take your hand in his hand, he could crush it. It didn't matter how old you were. The idea of shaking his hand was almost a terrifying thought. And my dad would talk about how these hands had the ability to strike incredible fear, because they were so powerful. And he would talk about how when he would step out of line, he knew that those hands had incredible power to bring him back into line. And he talked about how he would realize this, but the realization of it didn't bring him to fear. It brought him to security, because he realized that those were his dad's hands. And as Jesus is having this conversation, as he begins with these first two lines, I believe he's trying to draw us into, he's inviting us into something deeper. And he's saying, okay, listen, yeah, hallowed be thy name. God is huge. And when you step into this conversation, you need to understand how incredible he is. But more than that, you need to know and trust that he's your dad. And that changes everything. because now this is a conversation where I'm his and he is mine. And is he powerful? Yeah. Is he huge? Yeah. But he's on my side. He has my back. He's watching out for me. And for me right now, I understand this in a really, really significant way. Because when you first have a baby, I mean, you have to take care of everything. And Kale was born, and he's much calmer than his brother, thank goodness. For those of you who know Caden, he's just got a ton of energy. And we brought Caden home, and he was just, from day one, super demanding. Like, what he wanted it then, and he didn't. But Kale, he's like really relaxed, just totally calm, never cries. And the other night, I was lying in bed, and really everything's been going great as far as him eating and when he gets up. And we'd never really heard him cry out in the middle of the night. And we were sitting there sleeping, and all of a sudden, for the first time, he just cried out. I don't know what happened. It turned out nothing was wrong, but he just cried out. And Anna laughed at me because I was sleeping on the other side of the bed and the bassinet's over in this side of the room. And I jumped over her and I was beside that bassinet like that. Because that's what dads do. And Jesus Christ, as he's laying this out, he's saying, listen, I want you to understand, God's huge. But this relationship that you have, this relationship that I'm inviting you into, that I'm going to make possible, is incredibly personal. And he may be huge, but he's your dad. And for a lot of us, as we look at this idea of prayer, I think the reason that we're missing out on the conversation is that we're listening for the wrong voice. And for a lot of you, as you go before God, it's you and your God. And you're waiting for this loud voice of God to speak to you. And this booming, distant thing. And in the process, you're missing the gentle, calm voice of your dad. And what Jesus wants you to realize is that when he talks to you, he's going to talk to you like your dad. Because that's the relationship he has with you. The writer of Romans, Paul, as he's kind of explaining this to us, he's explaining this mystery that, okay, you now can be adopted as the sons and daughters of God. And he's unwrapping this for us, and he talks about this idea that he's our dad. And he says, now that you've been adopted as sons and daughters of God, you've been given this spirit that cries out. And the word that he uses is really, really cool because it's actually two words that are very similar. He uses the Syriac word, and then he uses the Greek word side by side so that you really understand what he's saying. And so when you read it in English, it reads, Abba, Father. Now, the reason it still says Abba, which is not an English word, is because there really is no English word that communicates this idea of Abba. Because Abba is like this incredibly personal, incredibly emotional response that a child would have to their father. It's almost the closest thing that we would have to it is this idea that you would call out Daddy. Right? Because this idea of daddy is incredibly personal. There's no one else in your life that you call daddy other than this one individual. And Paul, as he's explaining this to us, he's inviting us into exactly what we see Jesus inviting us into, that listen, the relationship has changed. And if you want to begin to pray the way that Jesus prayed, if you want to begin to have the conversation that he had, then the relationship has to change. And the relationship in which you're having the conversation has to shift. And for some of you, that means that you have to begin to trust Him that you're His and He's yours. You have to actually trust this God that you're His son and that you're His daughter. And begin to talk to Him like that. And that will begin to change everything. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, I'm just continuing to be overwhelmed by the fact that you've really adopted us. The fact that we really are your children, your kids. And Dad, I want to just pray for those here who struggle so much with this idea. Maybe it's because of the relationship that they had with their dad. Or maybe it's just that they just can't bring themselves to wrap their mind around the idea that you, who are the God of heaven and earth, would come for them. But Father, whatever it is, I pray that you will begin to break down those walls. That they would begin to realize that what you've promised and what you've told them is actually true. And that now they have the opportunity to be able to come and wrap their arms around your leg, to crawl up on your lap and to lay their head against your chest and to talk to their dad, to hear from their dad. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. My challenge to you today as we continue this conversation, as we continue to work through this idea of prayer, is to go into this week and to begin to look at the conversation you're having with God. Now, for some of you, this may be something brand new, where you're just beginning to pray. That's great, because you don't have to wrestle with all the things that probably other people are going to have to wrestle with, and leaving behind the old conversation and embracing a new conversation. And so for you, you get to start fresh. And you get to walk into this and just say, okay, Dad, I'm trusting you that I'm your son, that I'm your daughter, and that I get to talk to you like this, and that you're going to talk to me like this. And my challenge to you as you go into this week is just to set aside just a portion of your day, just a few minutes of your day, maybe two or three times a day if you can, and just to go and have a conversation with your dad. Talk to him the way that you would talk to your dad. Now, that doesn't just mean that you change the way that you start the prayer. It doesn't mean that you just go from God to our Father. That's not the only way this conversation changes. The tone of the conversation changes. The words that you use change. Because it's your dad. The things that you share change. Because it's your dad. You share everything with your dad. And my challenge to you is to begin that new conversation. For others of you, you've been praying maybe for years and years and years, but you're still praying to God. It's still you and your God. And He's not yet your dad. He actually is. It's just that you haven't yet embraced this relationship for all that it's worth. And so my challenge to you is, as you go into your time of prayer, is to begin to look at how you're praying and to say, okay, wait a second, is this the way that I would talk to my heavenly dad? Or am I still talking out of this old relationship? And trust Him. Trust Him that you are His children. And begin to have a different conversation. Begin to listen for a different voice. I'm telling you, God is faithful. And our dad comes through for us over and over again. And He never leads us down the wrong path. He's told us we can have this conversation. Trust Him. Start something new and see where it goes.